If you've lived life for any length of time, you know that you are a prisoner. You are imprisoned by all sorts of things. And the older you get, probably the more you realize that one truth, that one fact. When we are young, we might feel more free, but yet all around us, what do we see, what do we hear, what do we experience? The world crushing in on us, whether it's the rules, the laws that we receive from our parents or from our school. We're told what we can do and what we can't do. We're given opportunities. Maybe sometimes we turn those opportunities down, or we take up opportunities that maybe perhaps we shouldn't, and those things form us. We begin to learn about the world around us. And so we experience things, and those experiences, they alter us and they change us as we get older. Well, you know what? I've learned through experience, don't do this. I've learned through experience that maybe this is helpful. We begin to trust certain people and distrust others. And so our world around us forms us. They set up patterns in our mind of action and reaction. And we can see this, can't we? Like when we witness somebody else in our life say or do something and we go, ooh, I wouldn't have said that. Or, oh my gosh, you'd never catch me doing that. I'm sorry, I learned that long ago. And so to a certain extent, we are prisoners in a certain way. We go through the school of hard knocks, we become fearful of certain things, and we celebrate other things, and they form us. And you can look at all of the cultures around the world, and you can see how some cultures just seem to be diametrically opposed to what we believe and what we see as normal, and they, for example, may see us as a great Satan. How are we brought up? In what ways are we changed in our minds? Then we can be imprisoned by things just simply out of our control, right? Things that we just have to deal with. Genetics. Pastor Michael will not willingly eat anything that you feed him that has cucumbers in it. I just can't do it. I learned this from my dad about 5 years ago. And chastised, why didn't you tell me that you can't eat cucumbers either? I guess not something that comes up naturally in conversation. But if I try to eat a cucumber, I'll be trying to eat it for 3 days. Just don't feed me. But I can eat a pickle. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I just go with it. We inherit other things. Physical dispositions from our parents. Some of us are left-handed. You've got a left-handed pastor. How does that affect his brain? Well, you probably know by now, as opposed to a right-handed pastor. I don't know. Yeah. Eye and hair color, right? We think, well, I shouldn't have. Do you have a trouble sitting out in the sun for very long? You know, some people, they just seem to be able to go out by the pool and they sunbathe all afternoon. And you know that if you did that, you'd end up red as a beet. And that's after you slabbered yourself with that PS 50 stuff, right? And there's other things too. Some of us are susceptible maybe to head colds when it's less convenient because of changes in the humidity or what have you. Yeah, indeed. Other ways in which we might find ourselves imprisoned. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. I hinted at it a little bit. Citizens of a certain country. The United States, for example. Think about the things in our culture that we take for granted. And the things that, well, now, when I was a kid, you know, we wouldn't have thought of. How many of you have a soft drink with every meal? I know when I was growing up, a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi-Cola, that was a treat. Right, I think I got to have maybe one or two soft drinks a week. And now I go to McDonald's and I order the Big Mac meal and it just comes with a Coca-Cola. And I just drink it and I don't think anything about it. Things that hold me in place, maybe. Are you a Chevy or are you a Ford person? Yeah. What about your ball team? Are you Chicago Cubs? Are you St. Louis Cardinals? Or are you any one of those other teams that doesn't really matter? Politics. Boy, I'm not even going to start talking about that. What? How'd your parents vote? Might be more than likely how you vote, or maybe not. Pastimes. What are certain pastimes that you like to do? You like to play cards, or just watch TV, or what about your sense of right and wrong? Right? Well, I believe in the Constitution. Well, there's other people in the world who think that our Constitution is of the devil. And on and on and on. And those are just, I listed a whole bunch of positive things there. I don't even want to get into the negative things that we feel imprison us. We are prisoners if we are simply living in and of ourselves. If we just have ourselves as company and see ourselves as the be-all and end-all of what we should or should not do, or how we might live our lives, we may find ourselves being prisoners. Freedom. Freedom is what's talked about in our scriptures for today. Through the Holy Spirit, through the season of Pentecost, the celebration of Pentecost. And how do we see freedom today in our lessons? Through belonging. Through belonging and through family. Let's go to our first reading for today. Well, our first reading, this is the very famous scene of Pentecost, right? We see everyone at first, they're all sitting there, and then suddenly the apostles all gathered together in one place, experience this sound like the rush of a violent wind, and tongues of fire appear over their heads, and they are prisoners no longer. What before the Holy Spirit were they imprisoned by? Well, a language barrier. Think about that. I know that when I was in seminary and I studied Greek and I studied Hebrew, those are what the Bible are written in, right? The New Testament, written primarily in Greek. There's some Aramaic in there. And then the Old Testament, pretty much all Hebrew. It was fascinating to study those languages. And not only does language affect someone at a phonetic level, the way you speak words, and how you know, how long does it take you or how long does it not take you to convey an idea, but also the very intricate understanding of existence can come to us through language. It was especially fascinating to study the Hebrew and to realize that not only do mouths speak words differently, not only do the words themselves conjure pictures of understanding in one's mind, but also even an understanding of patterns of the world. And unless you study another language, you can't understand, perhaps, the barrier that language can be. The very understanding of the world itself, the way we sense things and experience things in the very languages that we speak. That's why this is such a big deal. It's not about just saying potato or potato. It's not about the phonetic moving of the mouth. What's happening today in Acts chapter 2 is a breaking down, a freeing, if you will, of the simple understanding of what it means to be a human being and God's presence. That's why all these people are so mystified. And some of them are offended. They're offended by it. Maybe some of them relied upon that knowledge barrier, that language barrier, the imprisoning that language gave. And so all are amazed and perplexed in verse 12, saying to one another, what does this mean? And trust me, they're probably not just saying it at the level of, what are they saying now? They're looking at this as a spiritual reality. I mean, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense, right? What does this mean? If all they're talking about is the language itself, well, the language has been broken down and everybody can understand. It would be a meaningless question. No, what does this mean? At the level of existence, at the level of having a relationship with God and having a relationship with one another. Why aren't you like everybody else? And we find that we can be prisoners or sectioned off from one another simply by something as simple as that, imprisoned with a language barrier. Of course, we know that's much bigger, this imprisonment. We go to our gospel for today. And we see Jesus beginning to break down the barriers by talking about this Holy Spirit, something that transcends language barriers, something that transcends culture, something that hopefully even transcends the ways in which we were raised, the peculiarities of what we see in our lives as being yeses and nos, or goods or bads. Are we imprisoned or are we free? And so we hear Jesus saying things like, whoever has seen me has seen the Father, trying to break the barriers in the Jewish mind in John chapter 14 between himself and the God of the Old Testament, God the Father, as we would say. And then there's even more boundaries broken down as we see this Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now notice the language that Jesus uses. Jesus doesn't say, this is the Spirit of whom the world chooses not to receive. Because then that would still be a choice. That wouldn't qualify necessarily as a barrier. That would qualify as just being plain darn stubborn. Instead, what does the word say? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now, it would seem at first as though there's no grace in this. Cannot receive, well then what can I do? I try and I still don't get it. I listen to all this Christian gobbledygook and it still just doesn't touch me at the core of my being, in my heart, in my mind. I still don't get it. You may have people in your lives who that's their perspective. They've tried to pray. They've tried coming to church. They've tried the Holy Communion thing. They've tried opening their Bibles. They've tried. And for some reason, it still just doesn't touch them inside their heart and inside their mind. And maybe the problem is because they're trying. And when we try, there's an opportunity for failure. And what do? As human beings, we say to people who just don't seem to get it, well, you're just not trying hard enough. You need to try harder. And what is that, my friends? That's called works righteousness. And if we remember who we are as Lutherans, that can be a great enemy, thinking that somehow on our own we can reach the pinnacle of understanding God and understanding what it's all about. And the Bible says, this is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. The Holy Spirit, I kind of think, is something where we just need to take a deep breath and say, you know what, I don't understand it all. I can't understand it all. I'll never understand it all. Because if that could occur, well, then I would be God. Think about the definition of God being omniscient and knowing all. So from the very get-go, if we realize we're simply the created and not the creator, we know we can never understand everything. But help me, Lord. Help me and fill me with this power that I hear about, that I want to understand, and that's the beginning. That's the beginning. When we start to see the little things in life, when we start to see the little things in ourselves, and instead of saying, oh, that's just coincidence, saying, whoa, you know what? Maybe a miracle happened there. A year ago, I would have said, oh, that's just coincidence. And that's just one example. One example of many. When we start to see people's lives being changed, when we see acts of kindness in other people where there doesn't really need to be any act of kindness, there's nothing motivating anyone or anything from a worldly perspective. We talked about that at Synod Convention. We saw some presentations of things that arose just in certain places at certain times. The need was there, and the Holy Spirit filled it through the actions of people who just one day noticed something, and said, well, maybe what if we try this? And then, of course, we were also told that expect failure, because it will come. But don't let failure destroy within your heart and your mind, the striving to serve God. Maybe one of the things that's happening is, once again, you're trying to put a little too much of yourself in there, trying to force something to happen. You know him because he abides in you, and he will be in you. He abides in you, and he will be in you. I like what we hear at the end of the gospel and what we hear at the end of our first reading. Hopefully it gets us to sit up and take notice. The end of our gospel for today: do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. And the end of our first reading: then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That just sounds too easy, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all you got to do. But then if you're thinking properly, how many people that you know in your lives will never do this? Are you kidding me? And so then you have to think to yourself, maybe what sounds easy isn't so easy after all. What do we need? That power of the Holy Spirit. And all we can do is open up our hearts and our minds and allow God to begin to form us and free us from the inside out. Go to our second reading. It's a short one, but it is so packed we could read the whole thing. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive, notice receive, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What is this day about? This Pentecost, this Holy Spirit. It's not about striving for something that we can never attain as much as it's opening up our hearts and our minds and receiving the spirit of adoption that God so desperately desires to gift us with, if we will only let him. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What did I say earlier about the kinds of freedom? The kinds of freedom from slavery, belonging, and realizing that we are members of a family that's bigger than that which we witness and see in our physical lives. Well, I'm so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, that's fine. But what about that spiritual connection? What about that spiritual connection? And then life takes on a richness, and it takes on a fullness that we otherwise cannot experience if we stay in our personal prisons. So are we prisoners? Yes, but we are freed prisoners. We talked about that last week, remember? Right? Paul and all of them, they sang hymns, they sang songs, something that would seem, they prayed, something that would seem to be so powerless, but those actions turned out to have the most power of all. May we continue to pray and sing and invite God into our hearts and our minds. Lord, I don't understand it all, and I never will, but that's okay. That's all right. Fill me with what I am able to hold, and help me to be generous and loving and see the other family members in my life. That is the freedom. That is the true freedom of a Christian. We are freed people. So let's remember that, think about that, and then let's minister like that. Amen.